Boris, first up, Facebook has really been splashing the cash lately. What have they been up to?
They've been up to a lot. It seems like they have a few spare coins in their purse in the last month or two.
I reckon.
So they've decided, I mean, this was a decision I made a long time ago, that Facebook, as you and I know it, really needs to expand. So they've gone on a bit of a spending spree. A couple of weeks ago, they bought WhatsApp. I don't know whether you use it, but it's an instant messaging app. It's kind of like SMS. No, that one doesn't, but you're right, other versions of it do. This is the one that sticks around until you decide to delete it.
Okay.
But it has tons of people using it. It has 400 million active users across the planet. And it sends about 27 billion messages with a B per day.
Mm-hmm.
So quite large, quite bulky. Been around since 2009, has 55 employees, and just for you this week with a set of steak knives, they bought it for $19 billion with a B. I think so. I think that's what pushed it over the edge, the steak knives. What I find fascinating by this is not just the size of the payment and given how new the company is, but the company doesn't turn over any money. It doesn't actually charge for its service.
Amazing. There you go. Strange choice then.
Absolutely. And look, if that wasn't enough, he found he had a few more coins in his purse, so he went out and looked for something else. This is Mark Zuckerberg, of course, the he from Facebook. And he bought last week, last Thursday, he bought Oculus Rift, which is not a name that many people would know, but in the tech world is a name that's been around for only a year and a half. They produce what's called head-mounted displays. So this is kind of like a mask you put over your face, and it takes the world away from you. It gives you a 3D world in front. So it's kind of like that image that we might see. Again, only been around for just over a year. It has no product yet. It only has a prototype product. And he decided he would pay $2 billion with a B again, $2 billion for that company.
And no steak knives?
No, this time there wasn't enough money to make the steak knives happen.
They must be celebrating it to Oculus Rift and WhatsApp.
Oh, absolutely. Look, Oculus Rift is a really interesting product. It's been talked about for a couple of years. It started off with crowdfunding, which is something we've talked about before, which meant they had no money and they went to the public to look for bits and bobs of money. And enough people put together enough money to get interest in it. And that's how the story began. So what Zuckerberg says for both of these things is WhatsApp, he wants to put into Facebook and make it a part of it eventually, although it'll keep its own name for the while, is it's a different form of messaging. It's instant and it is SMS, and he believes it is one of the things that we're going to use more and more. So it's a really good fit with what Facebook can offer. And Oculus Rift is part of a forward motion for him because he believes that in the not-too-distant future we're going to be donning these kinds of goggles and glasses and bits and bobs to see the world through. So Facebook, with all of our connections, our people, our friends and the things they do, could be an interesting use for this.
Fascinating. Facebook is snapping them up fast, that's for sure. All right, let's move on to something else. Google Watch and Google Wear Android launched.
So kind of the same world that we're talking about. Again, we've talked about Google Eyewear before. At some stage this year, Google's going to release into public what they call Google Glass, which is a pair of non-prescription glasses that we'll be able to wear. We'll see the real world through them, but also heads-up display, so information inside of it. What they've done in the last couple of weeks is to push this a little bit further, and they've announced a Google Watch, which is something that's been talked about with Apple and other things. So that means that the information you might have traditionally got on your mobile handset will now go into the watch. So it'll just save you having to take out from the pocket. You'll be able to see in the discrete screen that also might tell the time we're told.
I'm not convinced they're going to take on. What do you think?
I think eventually what we'll see is that we will lose the mobile phone that we have now. As we've done over the last 10 or 15 years, it's changed, gotten smaller. Eventually it'll disappear totally and it'll become part of a watch, part of a bracelet, part of a heads-up display, parts of bits and bobs that we'll wear anyway, and we'll just have additional information on it.
Interesting. Okay.
They've gone one step further too. Last Thursday again, busy week last week for this, is that Google announced what is called Google Wear Android. Now, what this is a language that we'll be able to use. It's kind of like the Apple iPhone, and everything can be built for that, or it's the Google Android, and everything can be built for that. Google has actually said they've put together a new language called Google Wear Android, which means there's now a system that many, many developers can use for little or no money to develop up these new wearable apps. So it's highly likely now that we're going to see tons and tons of them in the market over the next 6, 12, 18 months.
Interesting developments indeed. Okay. Now, I know that you're certainly very connected, Boris, but who's the world's most connected man?
Now, this again is one of those stories. It's the gentleman's name is called Chris Dancy. He's 45 years old, and of course he hails from America. Where else could he be?
Where else?
Now, we're talking about all these wearable apps that we might wear. In the past, we've talked about them having health purpose. We'll be able to tell our, you know, heartbeat and our heart rate and what we've eaten. He carries around 300 to 700 systems at any given time operating.
Got a large backpack, has he, or...?
He would have to, wouldn't he? Imagine the battery power. I mean, you could almost send a whole town off with what he does. But what's interesting from the viewpoint is, I mean, it's a life that he's chosen, but what's interesting is he's actually one of the forerunners of these. I doubt many of us will carry 300 to 700, but we will all carry some of these on board. What's fascinating for me is that in the last 5 years, he's used them for the purposes that we've spoken of again in the past, and that's for his health records. He's actually lost 100 pounds in that period of time. He says, his words, is, "I'm much more aware of how I respond to life and take steps to adjust to my environment. I've also formed better habits thanks to the feedback I'm getting." So what he's using is this device to actually retrain his brain, his thinking, his eating, his exercise habits, and really to keep him conscious if he's not following the path he wants to. That's how he's using it. And it's just a fascinating use of these new technologies.
Lost 100 pounds, it's not just through the exercise of carrying all that stuff around, is it?
Well, I think that would help, certainly. And if you look at his before picture, he's smiling, and his after picture, he's actually frowning. So I don't know what that tells you.
And finally, Maurice, backing up the world's food supply, what's happening there?
Now, this is something that's actually been going on since March 2008. It's been going on as in what they say is a remote Norwegian island in the Arctic Circle. What they've done is they've gone around the planet and they've asked people to supply seeds and plants, and they've put those into this doomsday vault, as it's called, which is an agricultural ability, an external hard drive, so to speak, so that if something happened to crops, for whatever reason on the planet, they'd be able to go back to this central repository and retrieve them and then replant them. And what's happened over the last couple of years is that we've begun to use that more and more. We started off with just a few plants in there, and we're up to 4.5 million species at the moment and 2.25 billion seeds.
That's in Norway somewhere, I think, isn't it?
It is. It's at the Svalbard Global Seed Vault, it's called. It's in the Arctic Circle. And what's, again, fascinating with this is that we've actually had purpose for this recently too, that the gene banks in Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as in the Philippines, have all gone back to this and to this vault to be able to pull plant species out as a result of losing them in typhoons and other natural disasters. So we've already found a purpose for them. So I think technology like that is really great when we can start to put things away just in case we need them down the track.
Very useful tool indeed. Okay, plenty going on into the future with Maurice Maslowski. Maurice, remind us how we can keep up to date with what's happening in the future.
It's businessfuturist.com.
Maurice, great. We'll catch you again in the fortnight. Thanks very much.
Look forward to it.
Thanks, our business futurist, Maurice Maslowski from Business